We are brought to you tonight by Lavazzi International, the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sinks, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, bike design, or maybe their puzzle design. Check them out, lavazzi.co.uk. That's lavazzi.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. The promo code is FANGO, and you will go ahead and save yourself 25% off of any purchase. Now back to the show.
Keep that frequency clear.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fire.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California. The Amp Studios themselves, along with, of course, Amp Studios International, Amp Studios Canada in Wilmington, North Carolina, Brantford, Ontario, and, of course, Waco, Texas. We're all over the place, guys. As Marco would say, been around the world and I. Never mind, that one sucks. Edit that out, will you please? We're coming at you live and unedited, right from the from UFC 216. Ferguson versus Lee. Bellator 184, Dantas versus Caldwell is scheduled to take place tonight, guys, at the Windstar World Casino in Thackerville, Oklahoma. Of course, it will be live on Spike TV. Now let's meet the host, guys. Fighting out of the... You know what? We're going to really legitimate give you the red... Actually, Marco has to come out of the red corner, right? We figured that out. Let's go fighting out of North Carolina Tar Heel corner. Hit it!
Waza.
Oh Lord, we're all over the place. We're clearly not doing this the right way.
Waza.
And we should have gone ladies first, by the way, guys. Really ruined that one. Fighting out of the Blue Duke, Blue Devil corner. The woman who always has an 8x10 glossy, Christian Laettner. Hit it!
Hey, well, being a Tar Heel fan is almost like being a lady, so we did kind of do ladies first. Good evening, everybody.
Oh,
that little that powder blue, that baby blue kind of color. Mm. Yeah, whatever. You live in an igloo, hush.
Oh, man.
Championship.
Hi, y'all.
That's right. There you go. She missed out on the y'all. Now, let's go to the red corner. The man who always presses pause when Melania Trump is on the air. And you know what? Who can blame him on that one? I'm sorry. Sorry, but everyone has a price. Where's Marco's intro? It's gone. Marco's intro's gone, guys. Damn, that's weird. It's gone. All right, you know what? We're going to cue it anyway. We'll add it in, Tammy. The one and only Marco from Waco.
Here, I can play.
Marco, is it true that you always have you always pause it on the Melania Trump?
Nah, I could care less about Melania Trump, dude. Not my type. I don't like
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I'm not sure why.
Ooh.
Shut your mouth. You know?
Isn't your first wife German?
No, Turkish.
Isn't your first wife German? Oh.
Very good.
She lives
hey, guys, let's...
German. She's a German resident, but she was born in Turkey, in Tokat, Turkey.
Oh, boy. Hey, guys, let's bring this up. Proteus brought it up last night, but we should probably bring it up in light, of course, of the tragedy that did occur Sunday evening in Las Vegas. You know, we want to make sure that it surprises me how so many people online were complaining about don't send thoughts and prayers, give blood, et cetera. And I actually did give blood, actually, not in Las Vegas, unfortunately, but I did give blood. I also gave to the GoFundMe, but I certainly, at least on my end, I want to send thoughts and prayers because I think it is important to think of those people that lost their lives, the families of those affected, and just, man, Vegas hasn't been Vegas in the last week. So for my end, that's what I'd like to do. I'm going to throw to Proteus, see if he wants to take it any further than he did last night, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, last night we kind of, you know, put it into into as many words as we can. I mean, we are Canadians. I had Danny Austin on the show again last night on Proteus's Primetime. We did a little State of the Union on the UFC. But, you know, we kind of addressed it, and we're not kind of used to any kind of gun violence like this, because our cultures are completely different. But again, a huge tragedy. I mean, I heard about a mother, a single mom who was down there who got killed from Canada, and she had four children. So I mean, that affects everybody. That affects us, miles away. And it's a tragedy. And I'm glad that you brought it up again, Tony, because it did need to be addressed. And thoughts and prayers, but and like you said, you did as much as you could. You gave blood, so congratulations and good on you. And the GoFundMe, that's all we can do in these times of need.
Now, Tammy, I know that you're you've traveled quite a bit, and you're a mother, certainly, not that you need to be a mother to feel the pain, but did you want to say something on that?
Well, I just think it was it just seems, let me see, because when I go to Vegas, I stay at the Luxor because we always go to Mandalay Bay when we go down to the, the Junkie Studio. So that's one of our, like our hangout places. So, it's just sad that people don't feel safe anymore in their own country because you've got some psycho running around, and it's just sad. It was just very sad. It's sad for people, regardless if they were mothers, fathers. I mean, somebody lost somebody, brother, sister, father, mother, son, daughter, and it was just, a tragic situation. I don't know how they can resolve it, but, it's just really sad and terrible.
Marshall,
I can't give
I'm
blood.
Cover
I'm very
you because...
anemic.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Marco, yep. Pam, go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I would love to, but I can't. I'm like super anemic, so I can't do blood. But, love and prayer and positive thinking.
Okay.
I agree,
so,
Pam.
I'm not a religious man, so I'm not a firm believer in social prayers. I truly believe actions speak louder than words. But if that is just saying, pray all you can. But after praying, go ahead and go to the GoFundMe. You cannot give blood. I already threw $100 the other day to the Red Cross, because I think that is a big, most immediate way for the staff to get everywhere. This nation will go to three natural disasters, three massive hurricanes, and then this shit on Sunday. What we need is a reset button, dude, and let's move on, let's live on, because, otherwise assholes like this win. Let's enjoy the fights, and the son of this blew his head off anyways. He was even, brave enough to face the consequences. You know, if you wanted to blow your brains off, why don't you just blow your brains off and leave other people alone? Whatever.
Exactly.
I don't want to talk about it because this whole thing upset me. It is a long discussion about gun control and gun legislation. I am a gun owner, but I'm a huge advocate of that. We need more regulation because if you need a driver's license to drive a car, you need a little bit of more checks to own a gun. Even in the army, we go through a lot of checks and balances before they issue us a gun, before we can shoot the gun, and then at the end of the day, we have to turn it back into the armory. Not everybody should be allowed to have a gun. And like an idiot like that with 49 different kind of assault rifles that were fitted to be automatic rifles, it's disgusting. And you know, but that's a discussion for another day. Let's talk facts.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, well said. Let's move on, guys. Let's start with, I'm still thrown off. I don't know what it is. You know, a prime indication that things were off when Junkie wasn't there for the first 2 days. And I think, good on them to do that as well. But Marco's right. Let's talk fights, guys. That's why we're here. We're going to start at Bellator 184. And this is, of course, good Lord, what the hell did we get that for, right? All right, guys. To the featherweight we go, guys. Emmanuel Sanchez, also known as Emmanuel Sanchez, 27 years young, 15-3. Tammy, he will fight 33-year-old Daniel Sprouse. And Daniel Sprouse, I actually want to always... I don't know why Daniel Sprouse throws me off sometimes, guys. 24-7-1. Daniel Sprouse, guys, by the way, is 3-2 in his last five, but really hasn't really been the Daniel Sprouse of old. And Emmanuel Sanchez, an up-and-comer, 27 years young, guys. I'm not really sure if this is a Scott Coker, what did I say? Edit that out too. A Scott Coker special. Of course, he's 4-1 in his last five, 8-2 in his last 10. Tammy, we throw to you. Will it be Emmanuel Sanchez or will it be Daniel Sprouse?
Well, you know what? This was kind of, I just looked these up probably like 7 o'clock when I got home, but there's really not a lot of information. I want to find out, you know, what they're, you know, if they're black belts, if they're, you know, I want to find out. But the one thing I did find out, Daniel Sprouse, he's 24-7, 20 of those fights are against the Pitbull brothers. Ha, not really. I'm kidding.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, right.
I know. So, you get one for those.
Yeah, I was looking. I'm like, wait a minute. Not Patricky, pero the other one, one of the bulldog, the Pitbull brothers. And I was like, wait a minute. Okay, there's one, two, three. Yeah, you know, so are they bulldogs or pitbulls? Pitbulls. Chihuahuas?
Pitbulls.
I don't know. Chihuahuas, anyway. But you know what I was looking at, and it was interesting, when I was looking at a lot of these cards are decisionator fights. I was looking, I'm like, wait a minute. So you have Emmanuel Sanchez, El Matador. And both of these guys have been very active. He has one TKO, five subs, nine decisions. And you're looking at Daniel Sprouse, four KO, six subs, 14 decisions. Sanchez is on a 2-win streak. His last win that was not a decision was in 2014. So given that, I'm going with Emmanuel Sanchez, only because I think his fight resume was a little bit better, for lack of a better word. But I'm taking Emmanuel Sanchez by decision.
Tammy choosing Emmanuel Sanchez via decision, and I don't think I disagree with her there. However, the voice of reason will come out. Proteus, do you have Emmanuel Sanchez or do you have Daniel Sprouse?
Well, I mean, it's very interesting to see what happens with Strauss in this fight. He's coming off of the loss, as Pam had said, to the Pitbull brother in April. And I do believe, and Marco, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Daniel Strauss is coming off of an injury, rehabbing an injury.
Surgery.
So, yeah, that's okay. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, so I think, like you said, Tony, that this is kind of a Scott Coker special. I know Sanchez is coming off of two wins back-to-back, both, again, as Pam said, decisions. The last one before that against Daniel Weichel was a decision. I mean, it seems like this guy's a tough guy, but I tend to have to go towards the known commodity, even though he's coming off of an injury and he's, you know, maybe getting a little long in the tooth in Strauss. But I mean, I have to go with the guy that I know, and I'm going to go with Strauss, and I hope that he gets it done in impressive fashion like he has in the past and get back onto, you know, that winning streak so he can feel good about himself. I'm going to take Strauss. I'm going to take him by second round TKO.
Wow. So Proteus going Daniel Strauss, who, of course, has notoriously had surgery and really brutal. You don't want to look that up, but brutal hand surgeries. Believe me when I say this, you don't want to look those up. Yeah. So Proteus taking Daniel Strauss in the second round TKO. And for us, Proteus, as we always say, KOs and TKOs are the same in our book. So
indeed,
Marco, we throw to you. Will it be Sanchez or will it be Daniel Strauss?
Okay, dude, this is a kind of survival Scott Coker special. This is a John feeding from the old. Daniel Strauss, you know, the surgery issues, the fact that he has fought the Pitbull brothers since freaking last century.
Right?
It's a symptom of the lack of depth on the division in Bellator, and it's kind of annoying, really, to tell you the truth. But I don't got faith on Daniel Strauss anymore. Emmanuel Sanchez, even though he's a decisionator, he knows how to win. He knows how to win decisions. And it's going to make it gritty, boring. Like I said, I lost faith on Daniel Strauss a long time ago. He didn't look good against the Pitbull brother, whichever one he fought, because, you know, you can't make him apart. But, I'm going to pick him on Sanchez on a very easy, 30-27 decision against Daniel Strauss.
Wow. So, Marco, going with Pam on this one, choosing Emmanuel Sanchez via decision as well. Proteus, I'm going to ask you about this. Did Daniel Strauss, you guys, did he just lose to the Pitbull brother with the bad tattoos, or the Pitbull brother with the other bad tattoos?
The one with the mustache.
Oh, you know what? I get this. Let's make it even. All right, guys. All right, let's move up, guys. Boy, no one got that one, Proteus. But you and I, yeah. All right, guys, yeah. Let's move up to the bantamweight. We go, and this time, guys, it's for the belt. Darius Caldwell, 29 years young, 10-1, guys. The Wolf, of course, is 4-1 in his last five and would have been undefeated. But lost, honestly, surprisingly, to Baby Joe Tamaglio, and not because Tamaglio is a bad fighter. It's just surprising. Darian Caldwell was supposed to win. He will fight the champion, Eduardo Dantas, 28 years young, guys, 20-4. The champion, Dudu. Yeah, that's right, guys. I said it. Dudu. That's his nickname. I'm not calling him crap. I'm saying Dudu. He's 4-1 in his last five, 8-2 in his last 10. And keep in mind, guys, he's only lost once in Bellator, and that was to Joe Warren, and not the singer. Joe Warren, via decision, and I honestly thought he should have won. So, Marco, we go to you. Are we going with Eduardo Dantas, or are we going with the Wolf? Darian Caldwell.
Okay, dude. I've been struggling with this fight, even though belts and belts don't mean anything, but
they're
just trinkets that don't have any value. But at the beginning, I wanted to pick Eduardo Dantas, and I was really into it, but Caldwell is a really good prospect, dude. The kid is good. And for one reason or another, like I said, I think the kid is going to rise to the occasion. That's going to surprise us all. Dantas has had his downfalls, you know, especially when he underestimates opponents, and I think he's going to underestimate this kid. I'm going to pick up the upset in an emphatic fashion, dude, like a third-round TKO, on the, you know, via ground and pound. I just got a gut feeling about this fight. I don't know why, but I think Caldwell is going to get it done.
Wow, Marco's going with actually, it's a toss-up, a minus Caldwell Proteus at a minus 125, Eduardo Dantas at a minus 105. So Marco choosing the very talented Darian Caldwell. We go to you, Pammy. Will it be Eduardo Dantas or will it be Darian Caldwell?
Okay. Again, you have a decisionator fight where most of these fights for both of these guys have been won by decision. Caldwell is coming off 9 straight wins before his loss to Joe and then his win again to Joe. How do you say his name? Tamanglo? I can't say that. Did I say that right?
Yep.
But you know what I'm questioning is this. Okay, Tamanglo. Just like, okay. I'm questioning his cardio because he's only gone 3 rounds. This is a 5 rounder, correct?
No.
Yes,
for the belt.
This
is a 5 rounder. He's only ever gone 3. Which you look at Dantas, he's done 1, 2, 3. I'm looking at my screen. He's done at least 3 5 rounders. His last Dantas' last 4 wins have been by decision. His loss to Joe Warren was a decision. I'm not questioning his cardio, but again, I'm looking at this as a decision fight. Both of them, decision is going to go to the champ. You know, unless you take that from him, decision is going to go to the champ. So I'm picking Dantas again, decision.
Just remember, Pammy, it is Bellator. So the decision vis-a-vis, of course, Ryan Bader doesn't always go to the champion. Sometimes you win it just because they want you to win it. Crickets there, guys?
Yeah.
Nothing? All right, I'll give myself crickets.
Well didn't they get rid of that one judge, though?
Yeah, well, she's still hanging around the UFC 216 offices.
That is from Vegas. Mm.
All right, so Pammy, of course, going with Dantas. Marco going 3-round, third-round TKO via Darian Caldwell. We go to you, Proteus. Will it be the talented Caldwell? Will it be, not that Eduardo Dantas isn't talented, I'm sure he is, or will it be Eduardo Dantas?
Yeah, this is a very hard fight to pick, as Marco was alluding to. I mean, both of these guys, very, very talented, obviously. Dantas coming out of Nova Anyau out of Brazil, you know, that's a very respected camp, of course. He's champ. And, of course, as Marco had said, Caldwell, the surging young and up-and-comer, so to speak, out of Power MMA, apparently. I don't know, man. It seems very hard to kind of pick against Caldwell here because he's been so impressive. But I mean, the champion is no joke either. But he, as Pam had pointed out, he does go to a lot of decisions. It'll be very interesting to see if this goes to 5, whether Caldwell has the cardio to prevail or to, you know, last that long. I feel like I want to go, my heart wants to go with Caldwell. I'm going to go with Caldwell. I think he's going to get it done early. I think he's going to shock the world, get it done probably in early in the third. KO. Thank you, Tony.
Wow. So Proteus also going with Caldwell.
I changed my pick right on the fly there. I apologize for interrupting you, Tony. I totally changed it on the fly there. Apologize.
Wow. So Proteus choosing the surprising TKO KO, maybe not, right? Eduardo Dantas has a good chin. I actually, to move along quickly, in the featherweight battle between Strauss and Sanchez, I'm taking Daniel Strauss via decision. Dantas versus Darian Caldwell, I'm taking Darian Caldwell, guys. And I think he gets it done early, semi-early. I think he gets it done in the third or fourth round. Let's say keeping up with the Joneses here, I'll go third round TKO to hang out with Proteus and Marco there, and we'll leave Pammy alone, of course, with Doodoo.
That's fine.
Nothing?
I'll pick my Doodoo.
Nothing, Doodoo, guys.
I'll pick my Doodoo.
God. All right, guys. All right, let's... All right, guys, let's move on. Boy, you know what? I can't find any of the drops, Proteus. I'm losing all the drops now. This is not good. All right.
What drop are you looking for?
I'm looking for music.
The UFC.
There we go. All right, guys. To the UFC 216 we go, guys. And we have to acknowledge, you know what? We'll acknowledge this right now before I forget, guys. You know, unfortunately, passings come in three. And we not only lost, of course, the great Hugh Hefner. I've never been to the Playboy Mansion and clearly never will now. We also lost, of course, the great Tom Petty. And today, guys, we lose Ralphie May, the comedian, at 45 years young via heart attack. So certainly it's been a tough week for those families, guys. We move on to the UFC 216, guys. And we start off to friend to the show, guys. Beneil Dariush will fight Evan Dunham, who calls out, surprisingly to me, Beneil Dariush. And believe me, Dariush is not one that you just want to call out just for the sake of calling out. He is a stone-cold killer, guys, and I mean it in a good way. The one and only Evan Dunham, 35 years young, 18-6, out of Extreme Couture, so maybe that's what he wanted. He is 4-1 in his last five, guys, four straight wins over Rick Glenn, Joe Lozon, Ross Pearson, and Rodrigo Dam. Keep in mind, as Pammy would say, via decision, he did lose prior to that three against three good fighters, RDA, Dalton Cerrone, and Edson Barbosa. And he will fight my favorite fighter in the world, as you know, that's not female, Beneil Dariush, 28 years young, guys, 14-3. And Benny, of course, 3-2 in his last five. He's had a long layoff, but he did look good in all of his fights with the exception of Chiesa. Benny, of course, is 7-3 in his last 10. He was looking good against the killer, Edson Barbosa, when Edson Barbosa got him in one of the most brutal knees I've seen in a long time. So, Marco, we will go to you. Marco, will it be Evan Dunham or will it be Beneil Dariush?
First of all, I love this fight. This fight is going to be so much fun. Dude, even Dunham, for a long time, was like perennial contender. You know, you just saw the list of the people he lost to. Former champion, former, you know, number one all-around guy, Donald Cerrone. And then Edson Barbosa, but he's always up there in the top five. So he doesn't lose to scrubs. And then he's in a 4-5 winning streak. A couple of them were fought of the night. Evan Dunham is no joke. Now, he's 35. And that is the key factor. He's a little, he's in the wrong end of 30 when it comes to the lightweight. I had to ride out with our boy, Beneil Dariush, man. The kid is younger. You know, he's uber talented. He intended some injuries lately, you know, but I think he's going to come back motivated. Evan Dunham's winning the streak stops tomorrow. Beneil is good on the feet. He's good on the ground. He's dynamic. You really have to like bring it to him and finish him, beat him to beat Beneil Dariush. You can't just decision a Beneil. So that is what I think Beneil is going to have the edge. Evan Dunham is tough as nails. So it's going to be a decision, but the decision is going to go to Beneil Dariush, which is going to be at 29-28. I'll give one round to Dunham because he has been this good for the last couple of years. So Beneil Dariush is 29-28 decision.
Marco, going with Beneil Dariush via decision. I'm hearing either Cedric or a little dog barking. One of the two. And Marco, make sure you keep that mic as close as. Make sure you keep that mic as close as you can to your mouth. That boy, that always sounds wrong, Proteus. When I say that, you know what I mean.
If
boy,
I get it any closer, I'm gonna start eating it. I'm gonna start recording the mic.
Crimpum.
Darn.
That's what she said.
Well, where's the rim shot? That was a delayed rim shot. That was a good one. That was a really delayed rim shot for Pammy. Wow. Boy, by the way, these guys are on fire recently with these. Have you noticed, Proteus? These guys are on fire with the jokes.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, Marco, going with my boy, Benil Dariush, via decision, we go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, is it going to be Evan Dunham or will it be Benil Dariush?
Well, like Marco said, this is going to be a really fun fight to watch. On paper, they're matched up really, really well. 5'10", one has a 72-inch reach. Evan Dunham has a 70-inch reach. Both of them losses to Barboza. I'm just going to make this short and sweet. Decision, Dariush for me. And you
right.
said
Pammy
you're
also
talking.
Going. Yeah, let's throw a shoe at Cedric, and I mean that on with a smile. Of course, I'm not being serious. Otherwise, Veronica's going to kill me. Marco going decision for Benny Dariush. Pammy going decision for Benny. Proteus, we go to you. Will it be friend to the show, Benil Dariush, or will it be Evan Dunham?
I have to agree with Margo here that Evan is just not a joke. I mean, he's been around for a long period of time. He's been on Team Proteus for a while. Dariush is very, very tough. And as everybody has said so far, I mean, this is going to be a great fight. It is positioned where it is because it should be fireworks. It should be a great fight between two guys who are just not going to quit. They don't know how to, you know, they either go out on their shield or they win, you know. It's going to be one of those kind of fights. It's very, very tough to pick because, of course, Dariush, friend of the show, he's been on with us, but I've been a ride or die with Evan Dunham for a long period of time. So I'm going to take Evan. I'm going to take him by a second round TKO.
Proteus, going with Evan Dunham's second round TKO. This should not be a surprise, but I really am trying to be, guys, as neutral as I possibly can on this because I do like both fighters.
Yeah.
But if you look at Evan Dunham's career, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But if you look at the career of Evan Dunham, I think he went through 10 or 11 straight wins, right? Entering into the UFC and then, of course, took some losses, you know, to Melvin Gallard, some of the other losses. And then, of course, when you look at his three straight losses to really top level people, lost a split decision. And I think he should have lost to Gleison Tibau. Loses to probably non-Ahmed Rafael Dos Anjos, loses to Donald Cerrone, loses to the killer that is Edson Barboza, that also beat Benil Dariush, to be fair. Three straight wins over, four straight wins over Rodrigo Dam, Ross Pearson, Joe Lozon, and Rick Lynn. But of course, these are all that are in the twilight of their career, right? These aren't the same fighters that they were at its peak. I think Benny still has a lot more fights in him. He doesn't have that killer instinct because he is so well-read and just, but he really is a gentle soul for the way he fights, believe it or not. But I'm actually going with Benil Dariush, guys, and I think this is going to be a battle of the ground, guys, believe it or not. These guys are good grapplers. These guys are good Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters, guys. So I don't know if it's going to be necessarily I do think it's going to be a battle on the ground. I am going with Marco and Pam on this via decision. I'm going Benil Dariush via decision, but I think this is going to be a battle of the ground, guys. I think these guys are going to show, really highlight this card very well. And interestingly enough, this card, of course, is in the main on the main card, but then you also have does anyone know? Obviously, we lost a fight. There's no doubt about it, guys.
Yeah.
But why did they move Kalindra Faria and Mauro Borella to the main card? Really? Why not Tom Dukanwah versus Cody Stanham? What am I missing, gotcha. Here, guys?
You
I believe that.
You got to give Fox.
Yeah, go ahead, Marco. You got it.
Fox demands a highlight fight for their prelims, dude. So you cannot give them garbage. And they were already promoting the Dukanwah fight as a feature fight on FX. So maybe they could have put the Will Brooks fight up there. But it, sometimes you gotta break some eggs to make an omelette, and you have to give the FX and Fox people something, because you know the Fox deal, that their exclusive negotiating period just expired, so the USC can chop around now. And Fox, you know, if they want to keep what they want something of quality. They had to show something of quality on TV for all those people that are going to put bid for the new TV deal for the USC.
I guess you guys are right. I mean, go ahead, Tammy.
I was going to say, did the Brooks and Lentz fight, didn't that get canceled?
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Due to weight issues.
But why not move Tavares Latis? Why not move that up? Why not John Moraga? Why not?
Even Groovy, you know, that he's a fun guy to watch. I don't know. I don't know. You don't know what they're thinking.
They do have to have
the bathroom break fight on there. So. Can
darn.
I?
Darn. Wow! Look at this. Son of a god!
Well, I did go with doo-doo, so I had to make the bathroom comment.
Good Lord, she's on fire.
Okay, let's move to the next five, Lord.
Yes.
I know. What do you think about that, Nate?
Fuck that!
Thank you. All right, guys, let's move up. We go up to the heavyweights. We go, guys. Derek. The Angel, Lewis. Because he's saving lives, guys. Let's get Cedric off the microphone, guys. Derek Lewis, 32 years young, 18-5-1. He is the underdog, guys, at plus 200. And I don't mean his calories that he puts on an extra basis with his vegan diet. Plus 200. Lewis, of course, 4-1 in his last five, 7-3 in his last UFC 10 fights. But keep in mind, he did win six straight, all but one via TKO or KO. So one was a decision, the rest were TKO or KO. He will fight Fabricio Vicavalo Verdum, 40 years old, 21-7-1. He is the favorite at a minus 260, 3-2 in his last five, 7-3 in his last 10. That said, he's 1-3 in his last three, rather 1-2 in his last three, losing a decision and losing famously to Miocic in a really odd first round, right? I don't know what the heck that was. But we go to you, Proteus. Will it be Derek Lewis, or will it be Fabricio Verdum?
I think this is a very interesting fight, Tony, because it's kind of a marker for where Verdum is. I mean, a former champ, ranks number two, of course, in the silly, crazy rankings that the UFC are putting out by nobody who matters, against Derek Lewis. I mean, Derek Lewis is coming up. I mean, thank you. Francis Ngannou is getting a very tough fighter, and so is Derek Lewis. I think these two guys are either the future of the heavyweight division or they're not. And these fights for them both are going to be the decision on their careers, on whether or not they're for real. I think Derek Lewis looks very tough against Fabricio Werdum. I don't know if I agree with Alistair Overeem that he is. I know he is very tricky. Werdum is very tricky, and he is very, very talented, obviously, former champion. But I think Derek Lewis is kind of, if what the look on his face can say anything at the stare downs, I think Derek Lewis is going to get this done. I think he's going to throw some serious heavy leather at Fabricio, because Fabricio is going to try and stand with him for a little while. I think he's going to get caught, like, you know, some people do. I mean, sometimes you get caught in MMA, and I think Derek Lewis is going to KO Werdum fairly early. He's going to catch him early, and first round KO, Derek, the Black Beast, Lewis.
Well, Proteus, I don't think I'm surprised. He's going with the younger fighter, and certainly the fighter with a lot more going for him, even though he did lose, of course, to Hunt. So, Marco, Proteus going with the Black Beast, Derek Lewis. I go to you. Will it be Valcavallo, or will it be the Black Beast, Derek Lewis?
The conventional wisdom will tell you that Fabricio Werdum should win this fight. I mean, he's the better striker. He is the better grappler. You know, his jiu-jitsu is second to none. He got really good cardio. And I mean, remember the beatdown he put on Cain Velasquez in Mexico to win the title. All the intangibles are with Fabricio Werdum. But the one thing that Fabricio doesn't have is that scary fight finishing power. And Derek Lewis has that. And even though Derek Lewis has gas in the past, in his later fights, you know, especially the ones that went to decision, we have seen that he has learned to be more economical with his output, and he has been able to hang around in the fight. Even in the Mark Hunt fight, I mean, he looked really good in the beginning, and then, of course, you know, punishment and cardio got it at the end, but he was still there. He didn't get a straight knockout. It was a standard TKO. I am feeling Derek Lewis too. For one reason or another, a lot of people are like terrified of going to the ground with Fabricio Werdum. I don't think Derek Lewis gives a damn, because if he gets on top, he can finish you. I mean, ask Travis Brown what happened to him. Ask everybody that got on, underneath of Derek Lewis, and then he hit you with those freaking sledgehammer he got for hands. If the fight finishes early, it's going to be Derek Lewis. If it goes to a decision, it's probably Fabricio. But I'm going to ride with Derek. I see early on the second round, he's going to clip Werdum, because Werdum sometimes, you know, gets on his own way. He gets a little bit too overconfident, and he gets clipped. He gets touched a lot. And the only two losses on Werdum's USC fight career has been knockouts, one to Junior Dos Santos and one to Stipe, when he got a decision against Alistair. But I stand corrected. But I think Derek Lewis get it done. I get done by a straight knockout on the second round.
Darn. So Marco going, showing no love to the older Fabricio Werdum. Proteus going first round KO. Marco going second round KO, as Werdum has slipped, Pammy, and hasn't looked like the same fighter that he was. So Pammy, will it be Derek Lewis, or will it be Fabricio Werdum?
Well, by all aspects, Fabricio should win this. I mean, this dude's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, brown belt in judo, black belt in Muay Thai. But his last TKO was in 2014, which is 3 years ago. And you know what? I don't know what's going on with him lately, because he was, what was it, last week, trying to pick a fight with El Cucuy. Today, in the face-off, he's trying to pick a fight with Derek Lewis. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. So I don't know how focused he is. Now, he is the more technical fighter, you know, better cardio, etc. But Derek Lewis has KO power. This dude has 16 KO TKOs. His last TKO was in February of 2017. Fabricio's last TKO was 3 years ago. And Derek Lewis has switched camps and is trying different things. And then I think, like, the whole Houston thing, the whole superhero thing has kind of given him, like, a new look on life and a new – he has a new aspect and a new love of fighting again. And I am actually taking him as the first round KO because he wants to get done and go eat those McRib burgers.
Hey, real quick, we have. I don't know if you noticed that when it comes to fighters that are lighter than him, Derek Lewis manhandles them. I mean, he was throwing Travis Brown around like he was a child, and Travis Brown walks around like around 240. But soon comes like a weighing time between 235 and 240. He's probably really light. So let's not underestimate Derek Lewis just raw power, man.
No, that's why they call him the Black Beast.
Guys, here's the thing. Fabricio Werdum is 40 years old. He certainly hasn't looked good, but let's look at who Derek Lewis has beaten. I mean, obviously they both beat Travis Brown. Derek Lewis looking a lot better beating Travis Brown. But keep in mind, Werdum did beat Mark Hunt. He did beat perhaps the greatest heavyweight not named DC. That's right, I said it. It came Velasquez. I don't know, guys. He did, of course, beat Roy Nelson. But I think if Werdum fights smart, I don't know if he fights smart any longer. You're right. He did beat Fedor. But if he fights smart, I think for Fabricio Werdum takes it to the deeper waters, and I think he beats Derek Lewis. But that I don't think that's going to happen, guys. I think Fabricio Werdum has been getting sloppy, like I do with the McRib. So I'm going Derek Lewis, and I'm going with Derek Lewis in a second-round KO, guys. So I'm all in with you guys. Derek Lewis, second-round KO. All right, guys, let's move up. No one got the McRib joke, really? Screw you guys. I'm giving myself a rib shot. Okay, maybe not. All right, guys. Darn. That was a good one, you guys. I've been running 2 miles every day, you guys. Thanks a lot. Exactly. Thank you, Nate.
12? All right. Did you say 12 miles?
No. Honestly, about a mile and a half.
Ooh. Oh, 2 miles. I'm like, damn. Okay, Nate.
No, 2 miles. But then, you know what? Proteus, do you have the controls? Because I can't even get the music going. Are you on the controls? Yes, you are. All right. I'm trying to get the music playing. I don't know what. All right, guys. To the flyweight we go, guys. And I don't even know. Should we just bypass this fight and pick two spotlight fights of the night, guys? Because I think does Ray?
We already picked this.
Is, I'm not going
to
say what I really want to say.
Do not.
All right, I'm not going to say it. All right, to the flyweight we go, Pammy, with a lot of excitement on my part.
Okay.
Ray Borg, 24 years young, 11-2, a plus 700 underdog, Pammy. Borg, of course, 4-1 in his last UFC 5, 8-2 in his last 10, and 3, of course, straight UFC wins. He will fight perhaps the best champion the UFC has seen to date, at least the cleanest one, that's for damn sure. Demetrius Johnson, 31 years young, 26-2-1, a minus 1,200 favorite, Pammy.
Wow.
DJ, of course, has won 12 straight in the UFC, last loss or draw over 5 years ago to, of course, Uncle Creepy, Ian McCall, which he drew. I thought he won that fight, frankly. And, of course, losing to the one and only Dominic Cruz. Pammy, will it be DJ or will it be the Tasked Mexican Devil?
Well, you know, anything can happen. But my question is, you know what? Look at, I mean, seriously, Ray Borg, he made weight. He made weight and he made it clean.
Oh.
So anything can happen. You know, anything can happen. But, you know, you can't go against Demetrius Johnson. You know, I think this fight was kind of set up so he could get, you know, so he could break that record. And, you know, and that's what you want. even if he were to be fighting, say, GSP, you would still want Mighty Mouse to win because you want him to break that record. First round TKO, Mighty Mouse.
Tammy put it best. Who gives a crap, right? Thank you. We know what's going to happen, unfortunately. I know Marco's going to tell us that everybody has a chance, but I'm going to go to the voice of reason before I go to Marco.
I was the voice of reason.
Tammy, you know, you were, Pammy. Tammy, of course, choosing DJ. Proteus, should we even go through the text? All right, let's just do it. Proteus, Ray Borg, or DJ?
DJ, thank you. Second round TKO.
Thank you. Proteus, of course, also going DJ. Marco's gonna, I think, I think he's gonna say that Ray Borg has a chance, but Marco, is it Ray Borg or is it DJ?
Ray Borg got no chance, but I'm not gonna disrespect Dimitri Johnson by not really talking about his abilities and his greatness. So, you guys bow down and be amused and the greatness of Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse is going to do whatever he wants with Ray Borg. Ray Borg is a serviceable fighter. He's good. You know, the kid is young. Great for you, Ray Borg, but you're going to get his cool. Mighty Mouse is faster, got the better cardio, is more technical, better striker, better grappling, better looking. Damn, he got it all. Mighty Mouse, third round submission, he's going to make a choke.
You know, you had me until you said better looking. I don't know about that guy. Good Lord. Boy, all right, I guess we're getting to the boy. We're struggling now, guys. If we're talking about Demetrius Johnson being in the same category as Luke Rockhold, we're really struggling now. But I'm going third round sub. How about that? Third round submission. The one and only, of course, Mighty Mouse DJ Johnson. All right, guys, let's move up as I'm being distracted. To the lightweight we go, guys, and this is for the interim belt. Yeah, I know what you guys are going to say. Pam has the interim title. Marco has an interim title. Proteus has the real one. I have the interim women's belt. That's right, I said women's. Kevin Lee, 25 years young, junkie favorite, 16-2, a plus 185 underdog. He is 5-0 in his last UFC 5, guys, and 9-1 in his last UFC 10 fight. And the reason I mention UFC fight is because that is a tougher competition for the most part. He will fight Tony Ferguson, 33 years young, 22-3, a minus 235 favorite. El Cucuy, also known as, of course, the Boogeyman, is 9-1 in his last UFC fights. And keep in mind, guys, 9 straight in a really, really tough division. Let's be honest, guys, this lightweight division may be the best in any in any promotion. He's 13-3 in the UFC. His lone loss, guys, to Michael Johnson via decision. Now the legit loss, I thought. I thought Michael Johnson actually did win that. Marco, we go to you for the lightweight. For your interim belt, will it be Kevin Lee or will it be Tony Ferguson?
For the belt, I might not mean anything if Conor McGregor decides to fight Nate Diaz, but that is a story for another day.
I love this fight too.
I love this fight. It's going to be super entertaining. Kevin Lee is an uber talented kid, man. He got all the intangibles. He got the look. He is good in the mic. He's a good wrestler. He's a decent striker. He's a good grappler. But I truly believe he's a little too much too soon. Let's say for what it is. Kevin Lee talked himself into this fight. This fight was supposed to be Khabib Nurmagomedov's fight, but we know what happened with Khabib. He cannot make weight, and he actually toned down this fight for whatever reason. He did not want to fight this month. He wanted to fight by the end of the year, so that is why Kevin Lee found himself on this spot. Tony Ferguson, on my eyes right now, is the best lightweight in the planet. I mean, his resume alone speaks for himself, and the guy is a finisher. He will punish you. He is funky on the feet. He got dark shots from hell. He's a nightmare on the ground. He's a scrambler from another planet. Tony does get touched, you know. I mean, famously enough, Lando Banara, you know, almost surprising when he was a replacement. But Tony still found a way to win. So I'm ready with Tony Ferguson, man. I think, like I said, Tony Ferguson at this moment is the best lightweight in the planet. I mean, yes, Conor has the belt, but he's been doing boxing for crying out loud. And if he wants to regain that claim of being the best lightweight in the planet, Conor will have to fight Tony. Otherwise, I'm going to put a little shade on Conor's greatness. I respect Conor a lot, don't get me wrong. But by resume alone, 9 straight, and one of them was the former champion, Rafael Dos Anjos. And then you got the number 3 contender, Edson Barbosa, and the list goes on and on and on. Tony Ferguson is on another level right now, and I think he's on his peak. Like I said, Kevin Lee found himself on this fight because he talked himself into it. Too much too soon. He's going to put up a good fight. I'm not going to sell Kevin Lee short. The guy is really, really good. He's uber, uber talented, but it's not his time right now. I'm going to pick Kevin Ferguson by 4-round dark choke. Because those are his signature moves. We never seen Kevin Lee on a 5-rounder. Never, ever, 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 ever. He trained for a 5-rounder for Michael Chiesa. He never went 5 rounds. And Michael Chiesa is the best name on his list. And you know what happened with that controversial decision. So I'm going to pick Tony Ferguson, a 4-round star choke, and a new Internet Lightweight Champion.
Wow. So Marco going with El Cucuy via Eddie Bravo choke, of course, in the 4th. He is part of 10th Planet. And by the way, you do not want to be doing a show and watching Vanessa Hansen, Chrissy, Brittany, and Ariane while you're doing this, guys. I'm telling you, you do not want to do a show while you're watching. All right, guys. Pammy, we're going to go to you. Will it be Kevin Lee or will it be your guy, El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to question how Kevin Lee didn't make weight. He's bragging about being 19, that he had 19 pounds to lose, and then eating tiramisu. And I don't know if that was like a jab at Khabib, but whatever. And then he doesn't make weight. Yeah, I was reading up on it. That's apparently what was going on. And then he doesn't make weight the first time, and then he's behind the scenes, and his coaches are having to hold him up, and then he makes weight. So what's he going to be like tomorrow? I don't know. So given that, I think he's a little bit, I'm going with Marco. He talked his way into this because you look at his fight resume and who really, let me look over here, who has he fought? I still personally think his win over Michael Chiesa, Michael Church, is questionable or was questionable. So that was, is that really a win? He fought Kevin Lee, Efren Escudero. I don't know, even know who that is.
Escudero.
James, who are these people that he's fought? But anyway, so you're looking at Tony Ferguson. Oh, my God. He's a wrestler, boxing, ground and pound, conditioning. He's creative. I mean, this dude moves like somebody out of the Matrix. He's got 5 consecutive fight of the night, performance of the night, bonuses. His last loss was in 2012. That was 5 years ago. So 9 first-round finishes. I got to go with Tony Ferguson. I want to say TKO, a tiramisu KO. But, it's going to be submission. It's got to be some kind of submission. I don't know what it is, but I'm going with I'm going to say 3rd-round submission because Kevin Lee has never gone past 3.
Wow, so Tony Ferguson, of course. Surprising me. Yeah, you guys are surprising because aside from the Ray Borg / DJ fight, I think these fights are really closer than we imagine, guys. Benil Dariush versus Evan Dunham. Lewis versus Verduma. I think that's a close one. And I think this one's a close one too. Proteus, you're the voice of reason. Am I talking crazy, man? Or is
you're talking crazy?
Kevin Lee have a chin. There you go. Proteus,
that's local.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to what Pam said with this whole controversy with Kevin Lee being able to weigh in more than once. Of course, in Nevada, where anything goes, apparently. I mean, it's getting as bad as Texas. Let's be honest, Marco.
Yeah.
It's getting as bad as Texas and Las Vegas.
I'm going to be talking about the Nevada Commission because on their regulation, and it's on regulation, the new revised CBC regulation, when it comes to championship rounds, they
put that in.
Championship round, they got a 2-hour window to try to make way for the championship fight. But
this rule came out of the blue the last time they were in the jeopardy of losing a championship fight,
mm-hmm.
and they said, oh, you know what? We put this in. It's if it's a championship fight, you get to weigh in twice. Come on, man. We all know that you're lying.
Yeah, I agree.
You all needed this fight to go off. You all needed this fight to be where it
is.
Oh,
did you say y'all?
You know what's going on? Yeah.
You say y'all.
Maybe. Fuck your bitch ass belt
you
too.
You say y'all. Look at you.
Yeah.
Y'all. Indeed.
Yeah. You should go out to Calgary sometime for the Stampede. There's a lot of people that say y'all out there too.
For real?
Do they?
For real. For real.
Fuck your bitch ass belt too.
That's what I'm saying, Nate. I don't know, man. One thing that I know is both of these people are very, very annoying on the microphone. I don't need to hear either one of them talk anymore because the UFC embedded plus whatever they're doing on stage at the weigh-ins, it's annoying as all F. Seriously. Have a good time rehydrating, Kevin Lee. I hope you make it because you got – to that point off the skin of your teeth. Please stop talking about how you are going to get your championship. You couldn't make weight, dude. First time. You got to make it the first time. I don't care what they want to say in Vegas. That was thank you, Tony. I am, you know what? It's like Luke Thomas on the MMA beat yesterday yesterday. You know, I was going on a tangent. I apologize. I'm going to take Tony Ferguson. Thank you, Tony. I'm going to take
all
him.
All right,
by
all right. So
he's definitely going to tire out Kevin Lee, and he's going to finish him. Thank you.
What else?
This is not going the way I thought it would go,
I'm
going to
go third, Marco.
All
right, good. No
third
problem.
Round. Wow, third round choke. Proteus, third round submission.
Sounds like it.
Correct.
All right. So Proteus going, Marco going with fourth round, and he's calling the choke via Darce. Pammy going third round submission. Proteus going third round, and he's choosing. No, Proteus, it's Jacare is not fighting. It's Tony Ferguson. So Proteus is choosing. No, Proteus, it's not. All right. So Proteus, of course, going with the third round sub. I'm going with you guys on this one, guys. I do think, believe it or not, I do think Kevin Lee has a chance. I'm not joking. I think he's talented, but I do think Tony Ferguson's going to get it done, guys. But I don't think he's going to get it done via submission. I think he's going to do something like a spinning elbow or something out of nowhere, and I think he's going to catch him. And I think he's going to catch him in the third because I think as great a shape as Kevin Lee is in, I think he's going to run out of wind, guys. So I'm going, especially after a bad weight cut. So I'm going Tony
mm-hmm.
Ferguson, third round KO. Everyone's going with the same things. As we're closing, guys, I do want to do this. We play true or false, I do want to, and I stole this, by the way, I'm giving credit where credit is due. I'm stealing this from the MMA beat. But I'm going to ask you guys, we've seen, and Proteus actually did a State of the Union on the UFC on what's going on. But I'm going to go any further, guys, as we're looking at this card and we're talking about what should have been moved up, what couldn't be moved up, because of the Fox contract. But I'm going to ask you guys, name me right now your top three fighters in the next year or two that are not champions right now. So let's go. We'll start off with the beautiful Pam. Pammy, top three fighters that could be stars, not that win the belt, but that could be legit stars. And don't say Amanda, because we all know that no one wants to watch the fight. Sorry, guys, but it's true. So next three stars in the UFC, Pammy.
Okay, I'm going with Mike Perry, Chase Sherman, and Jason Knight.
Not bad. That's not bad. Not bad. We go to you.
I got
Name
skills.
Me the top. That's right. Top three fighters right now, Proteus, rather, in the next year or two, the top three fighters that will be stars.
Jacare.
No, Proteus, not Jacare. Name me the top three.
Jacare.
Okay, Jacare. I definitely think that Jacare has a very good chance after his surgery and after he recovers, that Jacare could be a very good star in the UFC. Top three for sure. No. Listen, guys, I think that Derek Lewis / Francis Ngannou have a very good chance in the heavyweight division if they can win to be very big stars. I think they're more engaging than Stipe is. And unfortunately, you know, Stipe is not getting the love he deserves. And of course, they're dragging this contract out. This contract negotiation out is way too much longer than they need to. If Derek Lewis can beat Fabricio Werdum, his stock rises exponentially because of all of his social media presence, etc. Secondly, I think if KGB Lee can come into the UFC and win. She has a very good, following behind her. She's not very hard on the eyes at all. I think if she can come over in this 125-pound division in the women's, which is new, I think she has a very good chance of being a very big star. If you want to check out any interviews with KGB Lee, please check out our boy James Lynch and his
new father
interviews with her. His new father, James Lynch. Check them out. He's done a number of interviews. I know Ariel has also done some interviews with her on the Fortnite, but check out James Lynch's. He's the man. And third, I think a rising star. God, I mean, I have to look at the 145-pound division. Whoever wins that title, whether it be TJ or Cody, I think that they can be a big star. They're, both very, very big personalities, and I think that they could get it done. So that's 1, 2, 3, Tony. Thank you.
Wow, not bad. Marco, I'm throwing to you the next top three stars, and I gotta admit, the Angela KGB Lee, Andrea, sorry, KGB Lee, that's a damn good one. Marco, I'm throwing to you, who will be the next top three stars for the UFC?
Okay, with the ladies first policy, Cynthia Calvillo, aka Chick Diaz, I see she got all the intangibles to be a next superstar. Love that girl, man. Calvillo. Next, I'm going to throw some love to Bobby Knuckles, the interim middleweight champion. He got the whole country of Australia behind him and New Zealand. So that can be a factor there. And Australia is one of those pay-per-view countries. So it factors in on his popularity and how much he can bring in. And last but not least, I'm going to throw love to the heavyweight champion of the world, Stipe Miocic. Because when they get this contract figured out, I think he will break the heavyweight record for defenses at three. And he got the whole city of Cleveland and the state of Ohio behind him. The guy, I mean, he might not be famous in the United States, but in Ohio, the guy is huge. In Cleveland, he's only second to LeBron James. And that is like a lot to say, you know?
That is how recognizable Stevie Miocic is in Cleveland. So, yeah, that is my three Knicks stars in the making. Stevie is good at the mic when he wants to be. Cynthia Calvillo is freaking awesome on the mic and on the freaking octagon. And Robert Whittaker, not so good at talking, but he got a country behind him. And you know what happened, you know, with GSP, not the biggest guy in the mic, but with the whole country of Canada, his popularity rose to the stars. So those are my three.
Guys, I actually reached out to Rhonda, and I asked her, Rhonda, who do you think is the next star? Thank you, Rhonda. She doesn't care, guys. And then I asked again, Betch. Come on, give me somebody. No, it's not Betch. And then I asked Jacare. Proteus. No, Proteus, it's not Jacare. Let's get out of here because Proteus is driving me crazy with the Jacare stuff, guys. But let's as we go out, let's give props where props is due. Of course, the one and only James Lynch just became a father, so congratulations to James Lynch. We go to you, Pam. Ladies first. Anyone you want to shout out?
Me? Not really. I'm kidding. Our show, another MMA podcast.
Did you get a chance to watch all of Ozark yet, Pammy?
No, I have not. I didn't because I was busy working and doing other stuff. But no, I haven't. Paul did, but I'm not going to ask him what happened. I'm going to finish watching it.
Fuck that!
Sorry?
All right. Exactly. Twitter follow of the week for you, Pammy.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of one. I've been working. I've been crazy. Follow. Oh, my God. Pick one.
Follow. We follow Pearl Gonzalez at Pearl Gonzalez.
There you go. That's a good one.
Oh, you know what? We didn't do a spotlight fight of the night. Sorry. Let's do this quickly, guys. Spotlight fight of the night. We go. I know. Rewind. Hold on. I got one better for you, Proteus. Get this? This is going to be better than what you just mentioned. Hang on. Hang tight. Remember, you guys have to get your spotlight fights of the night. And, of course, why there's spotlight fights of the night. Right, Missy? Thank you. All right. So, spotlight fight of the night, Pammy. We throw to you, ladies first.
I'm gonna go Matt Schnell and Marco Beltran. Danger and Psycho. It's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be an exciting fight. One to watch. It's probably one of the earlier prelims, but that's gonna be one to watch.
That's not a bad one. Proteus, we go to you. Spotlight fight of the night.
Yeah, I'm going to take the next fight on the early fight pass prelims. I'm going to go Leitez Tavares. I think that's a dynamite fight.
That's not a bad one. Marco, go to you. Your spotlight fight of the night, Marco.
I'm back. Okay. I was on mute. My bad. I'm sorry. Lando Vanada versus Bobby Green, man. Come on. How come nobody can pick that fight? That fight's going to be awesome.
And I agree with Marco. Definitely agree with Proteus. You know me, guys. I'm not one to just look at a fight and just say, you know, just because.
Right.
Yes, I am. Pearl Gonzalez, to the strawweight we go, guys. We'll fight Poliana Botello. Who? Pearl Gonzalez, guys. And that's all you need to know. Thank you. All right, guys. Let's get out of here, guys. And darn, I wish all of you guys had seen Ozark so we could talk about that, but we can't talk about it yet. All right, guys, let's get out of here. Pammy, once again.
I've seen it. Let's talk about it.
Pammy hasn't seen it.
What? Yeah. I don't care. I'll watch a spoiler. Tell me.
No, it's fine. We can't talk about it. Watch it.
Because then... I might decide not to watch it, but if you tell me what happens, then I'll watch it. So what happens?
You got homework. Watch it.
It's very interesting. Watch it.
Oh, my God. I'm watching, guys.
All right. Pammy, do your clothes.
Yep. What about my clothes?
Do it.
Take them off.
Do your closing.
What am I doing? My closing. Oh, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see y'all next. Is it next Wednesday? You know what? I feel like I've been drinking, and I haven't been drinking. I think I'm just hungry, and like my head is like all light. I feel like a Leila right now. But thanks for listening, and Bellator fights are on right now.
That's right. Proteus, we go to you. Anyone you want to shout out?
Yeah, I want to shout out my boy Danny Austin, who was on Proteus's Primetime last night. He was very nice to get on with me, who had not done a show in a number of weeks and was very rusty, and I hope you all enjoy it. We had a great conversation about not only the state of the UFC, but what we thought was going on with the two, the main and the co-main event on UFC 216. So check it out. It's on Blog Talk right now. You can check it out. What's up, Ozark? Watch that.
And,
that's awesome.
And we'll get that out as quickly as we can. Marco, close out your show.
Okay, so I've been on the rabbit hole on Netflix watching The Flash. Go figure. Good series, man. It was on network TV, but they did a better job with it. Put it on Netflix because you don't have to watch a stupid commercial. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow Bam at Pandora Box. Follow Tony, IMDb Tony. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. Find us in iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio. Rate and review as Michael says. We need the reviews. Good fight this week. I'm going to start watching the Bellator fight. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
And like that.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Yeah, right.
Fuck your bitch ass belt, too.